NPR.
When you watch an ad on TV or YouTube, there are a bunch of decisions that have been made. Decisions that push that product deep into your mind.
Ivan Pavlov was a pioneering neurologist who famously discovered that dogs would salivate when they came to associate a bell with being fed. And it turns out we humans are no different.
Absolutely. There's many different ways advertisers can take advantage of all these associations we have.
Charan Ranganath is a psychology professor and neuroscientist at UC Davis. He's just released the book, Why We Remember. And Charan can dissect the world of marketing to its biological fundamentals. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Darren Woods.
And I'm Weilin Wong. Today on the show, how to make a memorable ad.
Charan and I are going to rummage through advertisers' bag of tricks, and we'll learn about the neuroscience behind retro TV ads that hit your soul and your wallet.
This message comes from NPR sponsor HubSpot. More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Doing business has never felt harder. But you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You just need HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: higher quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle. It's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.
This message comes from Apple Card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase. That's 3% on products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
When advertisers sit down to craft the perfect ad campaign, they're kind of like practicing neuroscientists. They want to embed a brand into your brain. So I spoke to a real neuroscientist about the method to Madison Avenue. His name is Charan Ranganath. And Charan says there is a bunch of techniques. And the first is repetition.
We can see, even if I show you a word and I scan your brain, the second time I show you that word, the areas that were active when I showed you the word the first time will be less active. It's like the brain is tuning itself up to become more efficient.
And repetition not only helps you process and remember the brand more easily, it also plays a role in trust.
You might look at Planters peanuts and you might look at the store brand peanuts. Somehow Planters seems just a little bit more legit because the name is more familiar. And part of that is our brain just works a little bit less hard to process Planters. And so as a result, we tend to go easier as giving us a better feeling.
And another technique that marketers use is surprise. Like this Smirnoff vodka ad from 2001, where a dog, which is talking, plays the piano.
That could lead to the release of neuromodulators in your brain, like dopamine, that can help make the brain more plastic and receptive to whatever information is being processed. So if you have something that's surprising in an advertisement, for instance, that will be probably a more memorable advertisement as a result.
So you've surprised your audience with a piano-playing dog. You've repeated this campaign with a lot of variations. Maybe you've got a honky-tonk puppy, a Chopin Schnauzer. Well, the next ingredient for a memorable ad is illustrated in this episode of the TV series Mad Men about a New York ad agency in the 1960s.
When the public can be engaged on a level beyond flash if they have a sentimental bond with the product.
So Kodak has commissioned Don Draper's advertising firm to market a new slide projector. You know, the classic way of putting photographs onto a screen. Kodak has this new device, which rotates photo slide after photo slide, and they're calling it the wheel. And in a dark meeting room with his clients, Don, kind of unexpectedly, just puts up a series of his own family photos on the slide projector. And then he waxes about the power of nostalgia.
It takes us to a place where we ache to go again. It's not called the wheel. It's called the carousel.
They've named it the carousel as a reference to, I guess, a child's carousel. So what's happening here?
What Don Draper is referring to is the fact that you can use these advertisements as a way to reconnect people with a time in their life that was positive and give them that ache for something that they want.
Repetition, surprise, nostalgia. Three scientifically backed ways to embed your product into the brain of an unsuspecting member of the public. And arguably, members of the public are never more unsuspecting than when they're watching the Super Bowl. I selected one of those ads for Charan, which aired in this year's game. This one was for Uber Eats. And the ad starts with Jennifer Aniston, Rachel from Friends.
Thank you.
She's standing by a film set. She's ordering some Uber Eats. The shtick of the ad is that people are forgetting basic things in order to remember that Uber Eats can deliver a lot of different things to you.
In order to remember something, you got to forget something else. Make a little room.
Is that true? In order to remember something, you got to forget something else?
Well, it's true that memories compete against each other in this ecosystem. And so sometimes what happens is remembering something will make it harder to remember other things that are competing with that memory.
Interesting. Well, I'll continue the ad. Now we're in the home of David and Victoria Beckham, who was once known as Posh Spice from the Spice Girls.
A what?
Remember when you used to be a pepper lady?
She's trying to recall what the name of the band she used to be in was.
Wasn't it the Cinnamon Sisters?
Basil Babes?
Paprika Girls?
No, that's absurd.
And then the ad cuts back to the film set.
Jen! Hey!
David Schwimmer appears, Ross from Friends.
Have we met?
I hate this town.
So tell me about the neuroscience of this Uber Eats series of ads.
So for one thing, the multi-part ad format is just beautiful because it prompts people to go back and recall previous elements of the advertising sequence, right? Posh and David do something very interesting, which is they get it wrong. People. And so you're engaging because you're correcting them. Many of these celebrities here are referring back to previous contexts from a particular time in our lives, or for many of us, if you're a Generation Xer.
And childhood for a lot of millennials as well.
Absolutely. And so that brings back a lot of comfort for a lot of people.
Repetition, check. Surprise, check. Nostalgia, definitely. But did the ad creators really think through these things that Charan recognizes? Well, I called up Uber's head of marketing for the US and Canada, Georgie Jeffries.
Our single-minded objective was to make Uber Eats unforgettable for delivering more than just restaurant food and to create new memory structures with consumers. We have to be more salient almost for our grocery and retail offering as we are for our online food delivery offering.
Create new memory structures. I mean, this definitely sounds like neuroscience. And she confirmed Charan's observations that these were all very thought through deliberately.
We certainly didn't have any neuroscientists on call. Maybe we should have. Who knows? Maybe next time.
I spoke to a neuroscientist about this. And it's interesting. There was a lot of overlap between what you said, Georgie, and what he said.
Well, that's great news. I'm thrilled with that intel. Thank you.
And just stepping back and looking at all these Super Bowl ads, the nostalgia element really stood out. And not just celebrities from 1990s sitcoms, but also music from the 1960s and the early 2000s. You had Budweiser's Clydesdale Horses. I mean, there was a lot of looking back. Charan says this is a highly effective technique, especially as we age.
As people get older, people become more positive in their biases towards what they remember.
So as the world ages, certainly in the US, the population is aging. Does that mean we're collectively getting more nostalgic?
I think there's a case that can be made that yes, as people get older, there are more and more people who are likely to be engaging in this positive nostalgia, right? And so that collective nostalgia, it can have good effects, but it can also have bad effects if people have this memory for things that were good before, and then they think that everything should match up to those little sample of memories that they're pulling up from the past. I mean, that's what the advertisers are also playing on, is this idea that you had these good old days in the past, and you can get back a little bit of what's missing now from their product.
Waylon, you can get a little bit of what's missing from this product. Are you sold?
Are you Don Draper? I was really touched just now. I feel like I'm missing something.
With these three tricks, I could get you to buy anything.
I know. I'm highly susceptible, Darian.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We live in a capitalist economy. This episode was produced by Corey Bridges with engineering by Maggie Luthar. It was fact-checked by Sierra Juarez. Patty Hirsch edited the episode and Kate Concannon edits the show. The Indicator is a production of NPR.
This is my voice. It can tell you a lot about me. And I'm not changing it for anyone. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of NPR episodes centered on Black experiences. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Learning. IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Charles Schwab with its original podcast On Investing. Each week, you'll get thoughtful, in-depth analysis of both the stock and the bond markets. Listen today and subscribe at Schwab.com/OnInvesting or wherever you get your podcasts.